Let's turn in our Bibles now to John chapter 9. And John chapter 9. Do you need a Bible? You sure?
I think I can hear it.
Okay. John chapter 9, and we're going to be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 41. And starting in verse 1, John chapter 9, verse 1, these are the words of God. They are inerrant, infallible, that is, they cannot err and they do not err. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, "Is not this the one who used to sit and beg?" Others were saying, "This is he." Still others were saying, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the one." So they were saying to him, "How then were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went away and washed, and I received sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who was formerly blind. Now it was a Sabbath on the day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And the Pharisees also were asking him again how he received his sight. And he said to them, "He applied clay to my eyes and I washed and I see." Therefore some of the Pharisees were saying, "This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others were saying, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him, since he opened your eyes?" And he said, "He is a prophet." The Jews then did not believe it of him, that he had been blind and had received sight, until they called the parents of the very one who had received his sight and questioned them, saying, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? Then how does he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed him, that is Christ, to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He then answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples too, do you?" They reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he is from." The man answered and said to them, "Well, here is an amazing thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you teaching us?" So they put him out. Jesus heard that they had put him out. And finding him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, You have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, we are not blind too, are we? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say we see, your sin remains. Those are the words of God. The man here is healed of his blindness, and that's what the whole chapter is about. And that came to him, that blindness came to him, because he nor his parents sinned. He shows that perfectly clear. So that the Lord would be glorified through him in his being healed. We kind of talked about that even this morning in our tribulations we go through, which again, that points to Christ being the Messiah, as was promised in the Old Testament, because it said that he would come healing the blind. And so this is the Christ, and he's proving himself, again, in John's Gospel and the other Gospels too, but especially in John's Gospel, to be the Christ. And then from verses 13 to 34, the Pharisees very upset because someone, Christ, healed this man on the Sabbath, in which they had added to the fourth commandment, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, they had added to the Sabbath that you were not to heal on the Sabbath, because that, to them, was a work. They had added to God's word. But of course, it is not wrong to do that. And we've seen when we covered the fourth commandment that healing someone or showing physical mercy, Isaiah 58, is in keeping with the fourth commandment. We should do so. But they interrogate this blind man and his family, especially his parents first, because in their eyes he was breaking the fourth commandment. And they wanted to entrap him like they had already tried to do before. And so the parents, being pushed by the temptation to sin here, and they fall into it. They knew that if they said what they knew from what their son had told them, that they would be excommunicated, that is, put out from the synagogue. And so they said, well, we don't want to answer that. We don't want to be excommunicated, because they feared the Pharisees. And so they said, go ask him. He's of age. He's old enough to answer you. And so they go to the blind man. And through this interrogation, he testified rightly that Jesus is the one who did this. And no one had ever healed. You see the boldness that he had. No, he's saying to the Pharisees, knowing that if he continues, he's going to be excommunicated. And that no one had ever healed one born blind. He said that to the Pharisees. But Christ had. And that proves that Christ is from God. But the Pharisees responded typically, as they usually did, with pride. And this man was excommunicated from the synagogue. It says he was put out. Verse 34. They put him out from the synagogue. He was no longer a Jew, like we would excommunicate someone today. No longer of the church, no longer a Christian. And a man proves that they were not a Christian, or that they would repent in the future. But Jesus coming to the healed man then, coming to him who had been excommunicated by the Pharisees, Jesus called him to believe that he was the Messiah, that he was the Son of Man. Verse 38, you see the proper response. He believed and worshipped Jesus. And Jesus then teaches why he came, and that is in part to heal, but also in part to judge the wicked who reject him. And so it says, verse 39, Jesus said, for the judgment I came into this world so that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Beloved, come now. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of Man? That he is the Christ, the healer of the world, the Lord of heaven and earth, the Savior of the world? Come to him. Believe, turning from your sin to him alone, and you will be healed like this blind man. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we're thankful in Christ your Son of these things that we learn here, that those some great tragedies that we see, partly because we are of a fallen world, that there are people who are born blind. There are people who are born with diseases and frailties. We might even think of Down syndrome, or things that even crippled. Father, we ask that you would give us wisdom as we contemplate these things, that these things are not necessarily because of the sin of parents or for one's own sin. But surely, if a believer, it is for your glory. And of all things, it is for your glory. And Father, we thank you for the truth of the gospel here, that Christ Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. He is the Messiah who is promised. He is the healer of our bodies. Maybe not in this life, but surely in the life to come when we'll have new glorified bodies and no more pain and no more struggles, no more sin. Father, we're thankful for the boldness of the blind man. We pray that we would have such boldness to speak your truth, even before a sinful world and even in the church. Because this blind man gives us a picture of the church with the Pharisees as they were in the synagogue. Now, Father, we ask that you would give us such boldness that we would speak the truth and love at all times. Of course, giving reverence and just submission to those in authority over us. But Father, may we speak the truth nonetheless with great humility. Father, we're thankful also that these Pharisees show us how elders ought not to live, nor anyone in the church, that we ought not to make rules or add to your word, but that we should keep your word and speak your word and proclaim your word and speak your word, speak the truth to one another, even to those of the world, that they would be saved. We see Christ himself preaching the gospel to the blind man, and the blind man believing and worshiping him. Father, we pray that you would give us faith to believe if we have not faith, and that if we do believe, help our unbelief, and that all of us here would be, by your Spirit, empowered and strengthened to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we do pray for Dina's nephew Casey, that you would strengthen him this week. Father, we pray that you would give him that mental strength as well to endure what he desires to go through in trying to become a Navy SEAL. Father, we also pray that you would be with Ron and Karen as they are planning to move back to Kansas City soon. We pray that you would give them strength for their move this summer, and that you would give their plans success and establish their steps, we pray. Father, we also thank you for healing our bodies. We think of the last few months, many people being sick, and thank you for healing our bodies. As we have prayed, you have answered our prayers, and so we give you all praise that you're the God who hears and answers our prayers just as you promised, because you're the faithful covenant God who loves us and keeps covenant with your people. And these things, Father, as we praise your name, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.